Let's turn now in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Tonight, looking at verse 19, as we have looked at Paul's prayer for the people of the church in Ephesus. And basically, his prayer is that they might have knowledge that comes by the Holy Spirit, that the Lord would just open up their understanding and their knowledge to four pertinent things. First of all, the knowledge of God. And then the knowledge of the hope of their calling. That you might know what God has planned for your future. I mean, your future looks so fabulous. It is so bright. The things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Paul desired that they'd have a knowledge of just what the future holds for every child of God. And then Paul's desire was that they might have a knowledge of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. That they might know just how much God treasures them. How much God values you. The value that God has placed upon you and your relationship with him. And finally, tonight, Paul's request was that they might know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. To know the power that God has made available to you as his child. In Matthew, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I like to play with that scripture in my mind and just wonder how much power that is. All power in heaven and in earth. Of course, you can't. You can't conceive of all of the power that is in heaven and in earth. One of the characteristics of God, we say that he is omnipotent, or he is omnipotent. Yes, he is all powerful. All power in heaven and in earth. You look out at this vast universe and you realize that the power that is given to Jesus was sufficient to put this whole universe into motion. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Looking out at that vast universe, power that put it all into motion, the power that brought it into existence. And here Jesus says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. What do you suppose you would do with that power if you had that kind of power? The Greeks knew what they would do with it. They have their mythology of Zeus and all of his powers and how he exercised them. And in the Greek mythology, you actually have people projecting themselves into deity. In other words, this is what I would be if I were God. This is where I would live if I were God. This is how I would respond to the humans if I were God. And I look at Jesus, who said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And how did he use that power? I see him with a towel going around and washing his disciples' feet. And I'm amazed. And then he said, do you see what I've done? They said, oh, yes. And he said, well, you call me Lord and Master, and that's correct. That's what I am. And if I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so ought you also to wash one another's feet. The one who said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and yet washing his disciples' feet. But the interesting thing to me is that when Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, then he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that doesn't seem quite right. All power is given to me. Now you go and preach the gospel to every creature. Then the next words tie it all together. For Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All power is given unto me, and I am with you always. All power in heaven and earth, I am with you always. So he wanted them to know the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe. I believe that it is very important that we know the power that God has made available to us. Because I believe that many times the child of God is cringing at the enemy when we should be standing firm. I think that there are many ventures that we do not even attempt because of the awareness of our own weakness. I believe that many times the church is retreating when it should be advancing. And the Lord is with us. The Lord is on our side. All power is His, and He is with us. And those times when we feel that we just can't go on, as Paul felt with this thorn in the flesh or stake in the flesh, and as he besought the Lord to remove it, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The power that will enable you to overcome the obstacles, the attacks of the enemy. Paul called it a minister of Satan that was buffeting him. The power necessary to deal with that and to overcome that is yours, has been given unto us. I love that series of questions that Paul asked there in Romans 8, which he begins with, what shall we say to these things? And then as he begins to list these things, the first one was, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we know that there are forces that are against us. There are powerful forces that are against us. The powers of darkness are opposed to your Christian walk. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers, these spirit forces of evil that are entrenched in high places. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Like Martin Luther wrote, the prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him, for one little word will fell him. You know, we look at all the powers of Satan and the powers of darkness, and just the name Jesus, and he's through. He's at it. He has to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ when used by the weakest child of God in trusting faith. They can put to rout the strongest powers of darkness that exist. When King Asa went out against the great army of the Ethiopians, we read, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Don't let man prevail against you." If God be for us, who can be against us? Asa said, Lord, this fellow's coming with a million-man army. We don't have enough troops to face them. We can't do it. But Lord, it's nothing for you to help. With many or with those that have no power. And so help us, O Lord our God, because it's in your name we're going to go out and we're resting in you. God before us, who can be against us? When Jonathan took on the Philistine army with just his armor bearer and himself, he said to his armor bearer, "Come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." If God's going to do a work, he doesn't need a whole army. All he needs is one in harmony with him. Let's go over and see if God wants to work. If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul prayed that they might know the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. It's just not enough to know the power that is available to you, but to believe that God will provide that power for you in your time of need. Jesus said to the father who brought his demon-possessed son to him as he came from the Mount of Transfiguration, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. When Jesus came with Martha to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, "Roll the stone away from the door of the sepulchre," Martha objected. She said, "Lord, it's been 4 days. It's probably a pretty horrible smell by now." And Jesus said, "Did I not say to you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" The faith, believing, that great power that God has made available to those who believe, those who will trust him for it. Now, no one is more desirous of seeing the genuine power of God at work than I. I long to see God's power, to see his glory, to see God glorified through the manifestation of his power. But I don't have the slightest interest in seeing the shams of unscrupulous men who seek to pass off their charades as the power of God in action. For a man to pass himself off as the Holy Spirit bartender dispensing spiritual powers, to me, borders on blasphemy. And I want to stay as far away from that nonsense as I possibly can, so that when God's judgment comes, I won't even get warm by the heat of it. It isn't the power to pin a man to the floor, or to induce uncontrollable laughter, or to shake with convulsive jerks that I'm interested in. It's the power to live an overcoming life in Jesus Christ that I desire and that I long for. The Lord is far more interested in your walking straight than he is your falling over backwards. So if you want to fall, just make sure you walk straight when you get up. The wonderful thing is that we do have the power to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. We have power to overcome the enemy, power to overcome the temptations of the enemy. Jude said, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The power, he's able to keep you from falling. In chapter 3, we have a second prayer of Paul for the church in Ephesus, another classic prayer that begins in verse 14, as he talks about his bowing his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this particular prayer, he is asking God to do some pretty awesome and impossible things for them. That they might be able to comprehend the incomprehensible. That they might be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So he's asking God to help them to comprehend something that you can't, that passes your knowledge. Naturally, again, it takes the help of the Spirit to understand something that's beyond your knowledge. And then he prays that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Well, just a minute. Solomon said the heavens of heaven cannot contain him. Then how can we be filled with the fullness of God if the heavens of heavens cannot contain him? And so I can understand that when he finished his prayer, why he said, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." So he comes back at the end of that prayer to the power. Oh, that you only knew the power that is available to you. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me." That power to be what God would have us to be. Power to be his witnesses by our lives. Bearing witness, the way I live, bearing witness of what Jesus is. This is the power that Paul wants us to know. That there is power to enable you to walk worthy of this calling of being a child of God. There is power for you to walk in love. There is power for you to resist temptation. We have power to overcome the evil one. When John wrote his first epistle, he said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Power to those who believe. The power of God to hold you, to keep you from falling. In Romans 8, beginning with verse 35, Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" These are the forces that were going to come against the believers and did come against the believers. Tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Paul knew those things. He spoke about him experiencing these things. Can these separate me from the love of God? No, he said. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, which are the rankings of the demonic forces that are in this world warring against your spirit, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, if you only knew the power of God to keep you, to hold you. Not power just to conquer, but to be more than a conqueror. Powers of darkness cannot overcome me, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you only knew the exceeding greatness of this power to usward who believe, you would never again tremble in the face of the foe. Paul cried, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this power is according to the working, Paul said, of his mighty power. The mighty power of God that brought the creation into existence. The mighty power of God that has been manifested many times during the history of man. The history of the nation of Israel. The mighty power of God manifested in the life of Christ. The mighty power of God that has been manifested so often through history. But Paul's interest is in the power that was manifested in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That God raised his son from the dead is clearly evidenced throughout the scriptures. Going back to Psalm 16, the psalmist prophesied, "Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So there was the promise of the Father, not to leave his soul in hell or to allow him to see corruption. Peter interprets this in Acts chapter 2 as a reference to Jesus Christ, whom he said God hath raised, having loosed him from the pains of death, because it was not possible that he could be held by it. For David spoke concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you allow the Holy One to see corruption. And thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, Peter said, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Messiah to sit on his throne, and seeing this before, he spake of the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, and neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. The power over death, over hell, was manifested in the resurrection of Jesus. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And up from the grave he arose. The mighty power of resurrection. Now this is what Paul is praying for them. That you might know the exceeding greatness of that power to us who believe. For if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you, then you also will be made alive by the dynamic of the Spirit that is indwelling your life. There have been others who said that they would conquer death. Houdini was an escape artist. They used to put him in a bag, handcuff him and all, chain him and, you know, throw him in the river. And he would always emerge from the watery depths and to the cheers and the astonishment of the people. How did he escape? And he was quite an escape artist. And Houdini, who also was sort of in the occult and a spiritualist, claimed that he would escape death, that he would come back to life, that he had the powers to escape and he was going to even escape the grave. He died sort of an untimely death. It used to be that he would allow people to hit him in the solar plexus. And people, big guys, would come up and just hit him in the solar plexus, and he would just tighten his stomach muscles, and it was just a part of his whole routine, letting big guys hit him in the stomach. One time, a big fellow just walked up and caught him by surprise and hit him in the stomach. He wasn't set for it, didn't brace, and it caused a rupture of some of his internal organs, and he died as a result. But those who were followers, and he had many, many loyal followers, they believed that he was going to escape death. They buried him in a mausoleum, and they put a telephone next to his body so that when he came back, when he escaped death, he could call. And they would come and let him out. And they sat and waited by the phone for the call to come. But of course, you know as well as I that it never came. But Jesus claimed that he was going to escape death. He said, "No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." Quite a boast. Quite a boast. He put his whole reputation on the line. All of his claims of being sent by God, all of his claims of being the Son of God, all of his claims of giving his life as a ransom for my sins and for man's sins were on the line when he was buried. All of his claims that he would rise the third day were on the line when he was buried. I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. On the third day, by the mighty power of God, according to the promises of God, he was raised from the dead. Paul prays that you might know that power, the exceeding greatness of God's power made available to you, the power to usward who believe in Jesus Christ, to know the power that you have available to you, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling in you, quickening power of God's Holy Spirit, power over the enemy, power over temptation, power over the world and over the flesh and over the devil. Paul's prayer is that you might know the exceeding greatness of that power that God has made available to you tonight. We live beneath our privileges. There's more that God has for us. There's more that you can obtain. None of us have yet exhausted God's resources. In fact, we've hardly tapped them. We get just a little drip here and there and think that, oh, this is glorious. But there's a vast ocean that God wants you to plunge into and to receive of His grace, of His power. Oh, Paul said, I want that God should grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that you might know the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. That power manifested in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Father, we thank you for the power that you have made available to us who believe. Thank you, Lord, that you have granted to us power over the enemy, over the forces and powers of darkness. Power, Lord, to live victoriously in Jesus Christ. Power to be more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. Lord, help us not only to know the power, but to begin to exercise the power that has been made available, that we might go forth, Lord, awesome as an army with banners, not just holding the fort, but Lord, going forth to conquer over those powers of darkness that are so deeply entrenched in the world system today. May your church rise up in the power of your Spirit, knowing that if God be for us, no man can stand against us. No powers of darkness can prevail. For the gates of hell cannot prevail, Lord, against your church. And so may we go forth in the power of your Spirit to proclaim your truth to this world. Proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? For you who would like to just spend some time waiting on the Lord, opening your heart to the things of the Spirit, the power that God has available, we encourage you to go over to the fellowship hall and just receive tonight. Maybe you're going through a heavy experience. Maybe you feel very weak, and maybe the enemy you feel just sort of has an upper hand. Go on over there and just discover the power that God has made available to you, the power to usward who believe. And just let God minister to you tonight through the Holy Spirit, empowering you for your walk with Him. God bless you and watch over you. And may you know the exceeding greatness of that power that God's made available to every one of you. May you begin to experience it and exercise it. In Jesus' name.